Book of John tonight, please. John chapter number 4, book of John. Thank you, girls, and one slightly over middle-aged woman. One verse tonight I'd like for us to look at in John chapter number 4, and then we're going to turn to the book of Revelation. We find in verse number 24. Well, let's go back to verse 21 as we read tonight. It says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You so much this evening that we have the blessed privilege to have in our hands this Your Word. I pray that You might teach us tonight. I pray that You'd use us. Open our hearts, our minds to Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For the saved man, maybe I should say the spiritual man, the great delight of his soul is to worship the Savior. When we come to the book of Revelation in chapters 4 and 5, we find a tremendous scene at the throne of God. In chapter number 5, we find worship that breaks forth. Verse number 8 says, And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts saith, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. So, Lord, in prayer again. Father, we need You tonight to speak to us. Oh God, we're so ignorant of even the word worship. Lord, we're so prone to be self-centered. Lord, in our old nature, we look inwardly rather than upwardly. Oh God, tonight, teach us. Reveal Yourself. Magnify Yourself in our hearts and lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We find from our text that worship produces what is described as a new song. Worship starts in private and it continues in the public. When you and I are walking with God, it is something that thus begins inwardly and then begins to flow outwardly. Worship. Worship comes, I believe, even before witnessing. When you read Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission, you find that before Jesus gave them the commission, they worshiped the Lord. Matter of fact, if we're going to successfully witness, we must worship Him. Because true witness is giving to those who listen to us the worship due to His name. Is saying to those who listen that He is the Great One. Worship is the adoration of deity. It is a respect for the authority of God. And thus, you and I, we have not the privilege to worship Him our way. The Bible is very specific when it says here that He is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. It is the only way that it is possible. The Bible says in Matthew number 15, "This people draweth nigh when to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. But their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrine, four doctrines, the commandments of men." What is He saying? He's saying that which is not according to God's plan and that which is the way we so desire is not true worship. Oftentimes I've heard people say, "Well, I can worship God just as well sitting in my boat on Sunday morning as I can in church." I have a very simple answer for you. No, you can't. No, you can't. Matter of fact, I doubt if you even consider worshiping the Lord when you're sitting in your boat on Sunday morning rather than being in church on Sunday morning. No, you can't. It does not work that way. There is a way to do it. It is in spirit and in truth. Now, you might be able to in your boat, but I seriously doubt it. We must do it His way. There is only one right way. And that is in spirit and in truth. It is important that we understand true worship in our age. It's important because we are living in a time that not only are we expecting the Christ, but we are also expecting the Antichrist. We expect very soon for this man to come on the scene. Many believe perhaps he's already on the scene. Some try to guess who he is. And some suggest this one, some suggest that one. I have no idea. I'll tell you the truth, I'm not looking so much for the Antichrist as I am the Christ. And yet we find, because of that, there is going to be, in that period of time, false worship. As there is that which is true, there will be that which is false. And certainly we live in a day when there is much false worship because it's not according to spirit and truth. And thus we need to understand what true worship is, that we participate rightly and properly. True worship is what? In spirit. It is in spirit. True worship can never be until our spirit is enlivened by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, man is made in three parts. We are what some would describe as a big word, tripartite beings. I mean simply three parts. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. Okay? The body is obvious. We understand what that is. The soul perhaps is a little more deceiving to us, but the soul is basically the seat of our affections. It is that portion of us that can operate in the realm of loving and enjoyment and all these areas. It's our emotions, so to speak. Our soul. But there's also the spirit. The spirit of man was created to be in tune with God's spirit. However, we find that when man fell in the Garden of Eden, that men born from that time on were born, as the Bible describes, in sin. In other words, they were born with a spirit that was, can we say, dormant or dead. It was not enlivened. And though we have spirit, it's not alive. It's not alive to God. And the spirit was made by God to be in tune with God. And seriously, this is how we're made. We're made that God might speak to our spirit, and our spirit then be the controlling factor in our soul and in our body. Now here's the problem. Even after we're saved, we don't listen to the Spirit of God to direct us in our lives. But we listen to our emotions. We listen to all of these factors round about us. We have been dead so long to God that even after we are enlivened, many times we do not listen to the Spirit of God leading us and directing us. And thus we're in a position where we're not worshiping God because we are not in the Spirit, so to speak. But when we are born with this dead spirit, we need that spirit to be born alive. When John writes, according to the Spirit of God's direction, we find that he records the words of our Savior. In chapter number 3, in verse number 3 of his writing, we find the Bible says that Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit," and that's a capital S, the Holy Spirit, "is Spirit." When you and I get saved, when you and I decide, I want Christ as my Savior, He does what? He puts or places or baptizes, as we saw this morning, the Spirit of God into us and enlivens our spirit. Now, you and I at that moment have capability of communication with God. Up until that time, you were spiritually discerned. Up until that time, you could not understand spiritual things because your spirit was dead. And thus, spiritual things cast before us was like pearls before swine. It had no value to us. But after we are saved, after we accept Christ as our Savior, now with that Spirit enlivened, we can begin to understand the things of God and have communion with Him. We find that when Jesus told this truth, Nicodemus, who was religious but did not have this, said, "How can these things be?" And we find that Jesus answered. And in chapter number 3, it is really reduced down and given to us in nutshell form in chapter 3 and verse 16. For God what? So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And at that moment when we believe in Him, that eternal life is given to us, the Spirit has enlivened us. We are born into the family of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so you and I, when we believe, we have that Spirit brought into us. Our spirit is enlivened, and now we have the ability to worship Him. However, we cannot do it in the flesh. The flesh will be with us, but it must be not in the soul, but in the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him where? In spirit and in truth. It must be in spirit. By the way, that's a small s there, speaking of our spirit. And real communion with God comes as a result of what? Being in tune with the Spirit of God. Now, when we are in this place, we find that there is something that can take place. And a part of worship is when you and I begin to praise and when you and I begin to pray. And prayer, by the way, comes out of our spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also." In fact, he says, "I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also." He's referring to his own spirit. And that ability to pray, that ability to sing, that ability to bring praise to God comes as a result of our spirit being in tune with His. Prayer also comes with a boldness to approach God. Even though we know that we are unworthy, and yet we know of His grace, we understand that He desires us to come. And so we read a verse or a sentence like Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace," and what? "We might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We understand that, and thus we come. Do you realize that when you and I come to the Lord in prayer, whether it be individually or whether it be corporately, it's a time of praise because we are essentially saying, Lord, we need your help and you're the only one that can help us. Why in the world am I going to ask God to give me a dollar from Indy Will? Come on, Mindy, pay up. And why am I going to do that? But when we have needs that nobody else can meet, we go to God in prayer and we ask God to do that. And it's bringing honor to God because we're saying, God, you're the one who is able to do it. It's actually a place of praise unto Him as we come to Him in this matter of prayer. Our prayers, as we found in the book of Revelation, are so precious to God that He says He saves them. He talked about a golden vial full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. God is honored. God is praised. God is worshipped when you and I are willing to pray. The expressions of worship are hence, by the way, controlled by our spirit. It is our spirit that controls our expressions, not vice versa. Let me explain this to you. And here's a part that is really a tough place today. And it's something I believe is greatly misunderstood within our churches. The Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians that we are to be filled with the Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we find that there are three things that it talks about there that are going to be direct results of that filling. One of those things we find is tremendous thankfulness. When you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, we become thankful. We are appreciative to God and to others. Because, my goodness, we've gotten it all. And God has given us something wonderful. We find also that God speaks of a submissive attitude. And a great deal is said about that submission in the remainder of the chapter in Ephesians 5 and also in the chapter 6. And talks about the different individuals that we are submissive to. But the part I'd like for us to think about tonight is that God also, when He fills with the Spirit of God, produces song in our soul. The Spirit produces the song. The song doesn't produce the Spirit. Let's get this very straight tonight. For what is happening in Christianity today is we are using music to stir the Spirit, to get us in the right mood for worship. That is not what Scripture teaches. For worship comes out of the Spirit, and song, which produced by the Spirit, comes forth unto God. Thus He talks about a new song. Little kids, oh, if we just listened, we'd learn some things from them. I talked to these little kids in the front row this morning, talked about the button. And sometimes we think little kids are just not really important in church. But oh my, how they can hold things together. Have you ever heard a little kid singing? I mean, you get a little girl, a little boy, and sometimes they have no idea that anybody's listening, and they're singing a song, and you're listening to that thing, and you're thinking, I have never heard that song ever in my life before. I will probably never, ever hear that song again in my life because they are making it up on the spot. And who knows what it might be about, but they are singing because there's something inside of them, and it's coming out from within. Have you noticed that when you are happy in the Lord, there's a song that comes forth? It might be one that somebody else wrote, but it is coming out of where? The heart. I get a blessing from people who sing from the heart. Don't you? I don't get much blessing from professional singers who just sing. They may have better voices. They may have better timing. They may have better instruments. They might have all the things that are needed. But when it comes from within, my, how that blesses. Hey, if it blesses God, I bet it also blesses brother and sister in Christ. Amen. These little girls tonight, they're words that I've heard those words before. They didn't make them up. But they learned those words. I think it came out of their hearts. Yeah. He said, well, they don't know what they're talking about. Maybe they do better than you and I. We just never really know there. But they that worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. And that spirit worship is going to be a great deal involved in prayer, but also that spirit is going to control the worship. It's going to come forth from within. That's why it is such a sweet thing to God, and He, as He speaks of prayers, saves them. But not only is true worship in spirit, but we find the Bible speaks of it as in truth. When our Lord prayed His great intercessory prayer in John 17, He asked the Father to sanctify them through Thy truth. And then He says something with this statement, Thy Word is truth. If we're going to worship in spirit and truth, and the Word of God is truth, then it must be in accordance with the Word of God. We cannot, as a Christian, worship the Lord and be contrary to the revealed truth of the Word of God. Again, Matthew says, the people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Why is it? Because they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of whom? Men, and not of God. To be in truth is to also know truth and believe truth. We're not going to worship God successfully outside of the realm of truth. And thus you and I need to understand this tremendous word. Men cannot worship God when they're in error doctrinally. It just will not happen. Cain tried to worship God apart from truth. And rather than bringing a blood sacrifice, he brought what? Of the fruit of the ground. No doubt it was more beautiful than what we find Abel brought. But God had respect on the one and not the other. The truth of God's holiness, the truth of our depravity, the truth of the grace of God allows you and I to draw near. Because when you and I understand those truths, they bring a humility. When you and I realize that God is a holy God, when you and I realize who we really are, and we realize the only way we can draw nigh to God is by the grace of God, it gives us a humility. You see, we're not going to worship God in truth when we think we are more special than He. We do not worship God in pride and arrogance. It does not take place. It's only in humility. And thus we need the truth of God to set us straight. Interesting, in the book of Genesis, it says, and Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He said, we're going to go worship. How are they going to worship? They're going to go worship with a sacrifice. That sacrifice was an admission to their own need and the God and His supremacy over them. And they brought of that sacrifice. You and I, if we are going to truly worship God, we must prostrate ourselves before Him. I'm not talking about the position, but it must be the position of our heart that we come to Him. The wise men came, the Bible says, and they fell down and worshiped Him. They were willing to prostrate themselves before God. The psalmist says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." You see, one of the things that you and I do when we pray is often we do what? We bow before Him. It might not always be that which is the posture, but in our hearts it certainly ought to be. If you're praying to God and you're driving, I hope you're not bowing your head and closing your eyes. But it ought to be the posture of the heart. That's what we're looking at. They that worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. Interesting note that we find in the Word of God is that oftentimes in worship of God, they raised their hands. Not because music brought it up and they got all excited during the music process, but we find it in the Word of God, it was more often associated with the preaching of the truth of God's Word. Interesting. In light of what's taking place in today's world. The psalmist said, "Let my prayer be set before Thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." There is that which comes from within. You see, the truth of worship is that God is great. It's not about us, but it's all about Him. It isn't who we are, but who He is. They that worship Him how must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. Not the way we want to, but according to the truth of the Word of God. Not in our emotions, but in our spirit. Now listen, please. When you worship God in spirit, and your spirit is controlling you, it will affect your emotions. But the spirit is to affect the emotions, not to try to get the emotions to affect the spirit. That's the backdoor approach that we are trying to do in our modern churches. And we try to do it through musical styles. And brethren, it's not working. People get excited and they go home and it's gone. Because it's not coming out of here. It's coming in here and trying to make its way. But it's the wrong process. Learn the truth of God's wonderful Word. Allow it to affect your being. Allow the Spirit of God to teach you through that truth of God. And then there will be within your spirit that worship and adoration unto God. They that worship Him, doesn't say it's a suggestion, must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. Lord God, tonight teach us. Help us understand. And oh God, that we might bring glorious worship and adoration to You. Lord, help us understand tonight that a church service such as this is not to produce within us something unless we allow the truth to generate it from within. that our spirit might be governed by yours. And thus, that which comes forth will be real and not pumped up. Lord, may we be in tune with your spirit. May we understand the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, teach us that we might bring honor to you. And in that honor, we might then have a witness to a world. May we worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, bless in these moments. Lord, there is perhaps need here tonight. Though this be teaching, there may be some needs here tonight that must be taken care of. And so, Lord, I pray you might speak to those individuals and those things be left at the altar tonight. Bless in these moments of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.